Number four, I too was slothful in praying. Rather than being spiritually alert as I should have been, I fell asleep. And as a consequence, I fell into the very temptation that I was warned about. Who am I? Peter. Five, I had the habit of falling asleep when I should have been fleeing from temptation. My enjoyment of inappropriate sleep cost me my spiritual and physical vision. Who am I? Samson. Yeah. Somebody said he had a haircut in the devil's barbershop.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Nobody Woke Me Up. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Nobody Woke Me Up.
And I'm going to ask that you would open your Bibles to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. And actually, this message is birthed out of the message when I was listening to Dr. John Perkins preached, and he said something in the message that just stirred my heart. And so I pray that it will be a message for all of us here today. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And the scripture says, "How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou arise out of sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come like one that travaileth, and like the one who is an armed man." And I want to speak to you on this subject this morning, and maybe you've heard this phrase before. I know I've heard it. Nobody woke me up. Nobody woke me up. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? And when will you get up out of your sleep? Nobody woke me up. Man, I also have included in the handouts today people in the Bible who failed the sleep test. So we're going to take a little test before we get started this morning. We're going to take a little test. We have 8 questions on this test. People who failed the sleep test in the Bible. Do y'all have that? Amen. Okay. All right. The first person here, it says, God, and this is taken out of Bill Gothard material. He has done a lot of character studies, things of that nature, and he did one on the sluggard and one on the ant. And I just thought this was very interesting. People who have failed the sleep test in the Bible. God warned me that my task was both dangerous and delicate. He gave me precise instructions for my journey. I made the mistake of stopping to rest under an oak tree, and it cost me my life. Who am I? Now, the answers are at the bottom of the page, and we're going to give the answer. But I would pray that you would draw within the resources of your mind and your heart to see if you know who this individual is. And I'm going to give you the answer, so we're not going to take too long on this today. But if you put H in there, you were correct. The unnamed prophet, he was given a task. God told him to do something. And instead of him doing what God told him to do, along the way he sat and he fell asleep. And he ended up losing his life because he fell asleep. Number 2, it was the time that leaders go out to battle. Instead, I stayed home to get a little more sleep. It was obvious that I did not need it because I could not sleep. So I went for a walk and I fell into terrible sin. Who am I? David. Yeah, we remember that story right there. David was sleeping the day away. Nobody woke him up. Number 3, I was startled by the words, "O sleeper, get up and call on your God." This was a rebuke to me, but it revealed that my slothfulness was a byproduct of my rebellion against God. He severely disciplined me. Who am I? Jonah, that's right, Jonah. Somebody had to wake him up. Get up, old sleeper. Get up out of that bed. Number four, I too was slothful in praying. Rather than being spiritually alert as I should have been, I fell asleep. And as a consequence, I fell into the very temptation that I was warned about. Who am I? Peter. Yeah, Peter. Five, I had the habit of falling asleep when I should have been fleeing from temptation. My enjoyment of inappropriate sleep cost me my spiritual and physical vision. Who am I? Samson. Yeah. Somebody said he had a haircut in the devil's barbershop. Number six, I fell asleep at a time when I should have been listening to instruction. My sleep was so sound that I caused a shocking incident and disrupted the meeting. Who am I? Eutychus. See, we hope that, see, y'all ought to praise God today that we're not on the third floor of a building in the open window. This brother sat in the window. He was listening to Paul preach. He fell asleep and fell out the window and died. Y'all stop laughing there. So here was a brother sleeping cost him his life. All right, number seven. My slothfulness was compounded by drunkenness. At a time of great danger to my family, I was sleeping. When I woke up, God punished me with a heart attack. Nabal, that's right. Amen. Amen. And finally, a slothful person does not anticipate future needs. And that was precisely my problem. Because of it, I lost the opportunity of a lifetime. The foolish virgin. Amen. Amen. Now, the reason I did that, well, two reasons. I wanted to test your biblical knowledge. But also, we will be referring to some of these passages as we go through the message today. So that was my way of getting you to just refresh in your mind some of those stories. But as we look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11, we see the admonition is going out to the sleeper or the sluggard. And it says, how long will you continue to sleep, O sluggard? And when will you arise out of your sleep? And as if almost to answer the question, the response comes back in verse 10, and he says, oh, just a little sleep, just a little more slumber, just a little more folding of hands. Oh, just let me get a few more Z's. Let me nod a little while longer. Let me continue to rest and enjoy this time that I have in the bed. Now, the problem with that, and sometimes in the morning, it's all right when the alarm clock goes off to hit the button and lay back down a little while. But my brothers and sisters, the problem comes when it becomes a perpetual pattern in your life of hitting the button and laying there time after time again. And not only that, but laying there far longer after you should have got up. And I've heard it said on many occasions, well, how come you didn't go to church this morning? Nobody woke me up. How come you were late this morning for work? Nobody woke me up. How come you were late catching the bus to go to school this morning? Well, nobody woke me up. Sometimes, my friends, it's not a matter of people waking you up. It's a matter of you taking the initiative, you realizing that you're about something, you realizing that your life has meaning and purpose, and getting your dusty, rusty up out of the bed and going on about the business that you know you need to be taken care of. Nobody woke me up. How many people have heard that before? Nobody woke me up. Would to God that after this message today that nobody say that to anybody else. Nobody woke me up. As we see here, what are the results of not getting up? What are the results of not getting up? Well, he says in verse 11, so shall thy poverty come. The results of not getting up, the results of continuing to be lazy, continuing to depend on other people, continuing to need somebody else to rouse you up, it says that you will come to poverty. This word poverty is a very interesting word. It comes from a Hebrew word that, watch this, it means a state or condition of lacking what is needed. That as long as you continue to sleep, as long as you continue to miss opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, as long as you continue to nod while the world passes you by, there'll be many things that you will need in your life. Oh, God, give us some diligent people. Give us some diligent young people. Thank God for diligent young people who are self-motivated, who can stir themselves up and get about the business that they need to be about. You know why? Because they will never lack in what they need. I see folk that continue to just depend on other people to wake them up, whether it's spiritually, whether it's physically. And you know what I see in their life? Need. Need. They're not independent. They can't stand alone. My goodness, if you need somebody to wake you up, how in the world can you stand alone? Man, we see in this, and I'm talking about more. Now, I don't want anybody to think I'm beating them up because they need somebody to shake them or wake them up in the morning. There's nothing wrong with that as far as having that stimulation. But this is my point. My point is when you begin to use that as an excuse for your life, when you use it as an excuse for not doing the things that you know you ought to do, and see, sometimes it's not even a matter of waking up out of bed. Sometimes it's just a matter of, I'm getting ready to preach now. I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble. I'm going to get my resume together now, but let me say this. You know, sometimes it's just a matter, my brothers and sisters, of just getting away from those games. You know, sleeping. You know, here, pick up a book. Read a book. You know, do something that will help you to be able to improve yourself. Now, once again, I play games. I have no problem with playing games. But hour after hour after hour, how long? How long, the question is asked, will you sleep? How long before you get away from the TV? Oh, just a little bit longer. Oh, just let me finish this game. Let me put it on pause and I'll get back to it. But like I said, I know that this is not a popular message this morning, but that's all right. That's all right. It's a message that I needed to hear. So hopefully it's a message that you need to hear. And just not think now, once again, that I'm talking about people who have a problem getting up in the morning. You know, this thing spreads out throughout our life. You know, we miss opportunities. And the reason that we miss opportunities is because we continue to sleep. God allow us to be alert so that we can be all that we can be. The meaning of poverty, a state or condition of lacking what is needed. You look at Proverbs 13, Proverbs 13 and verse 4. It says here, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. A person that is lazy, a person that misses opportunity, man, they want to drive the nice car. They want to wear the nice clothes. They want to live in the nice house. They want to eat the good food. But you know what? They don't want to do anything for it. They have a lot of desires. They have a lot of lofty goals, and they have a lot of highfalutin dreams, but they're not willing to put their back to the work, to the grindstone, and hammer out what needs to be done. The soul of the sluggard desires, but has nothing, has nothing. And the fact that somebody would be dependent upon somebody else to wake them up shows that there's some initiative there that's lacking. What are the ways that poverty will attack as you look at your notes? What are the ways that poverty will attack? It says that this person who loves to sleep will come to poverty. Well, what are some ways that it will attack? It tells us here in verse 11, so shall thy poverty come like one that traveleth, and want like a armed man. He gives two analogies here. The first analogy is a person that's traveling. And the idea here is that when you're traveling, and back then, most of the times where they wanted to go, they walked. Their steps were sure, and their steps were steady. But you know what? They kept making progress in the right direction. And so what is he saying here to the sleeper? He says that if you continue on sleeping, he said it may take a while. He said, but be assured that poverty is coming. Woo! Be assured that poverty is coming. Be assured that poverty is on the way. It may be traveling slow. It may be going step by step. It may be moving at a pace that you can't see, but be assured, you cannot continue to waste away your life and think that you're going to enjoy success. As far as I know, I don't know too many people that were born with a silver spoon. And if and somewhere along the line, you got to get out, you got to get motivated, you got to be about something. Because if you're not, poverty is on the way. It's on the way. And I see it. I see it right here. Talk to folk. They have poverty has just overtaken them. And this could refer to material poverty, financial poverty. But I believe even more than that, we're talking about people that just lack will, desire to be about anything. Poverty will be on the way. And then you know what? He said not only is like a person that travels, but it's also like an armed man or a robber. So, you know, this is the picture that the writer of Proverbs is trying to give us, that poverty slowly creeps up on you. It slowly creeps up on you. But then how does that robber come? That robber comes and he hits you, boom, just like that. And you can't resist it. You are unprepared. And God is telling us that we need to do something. We need to be about something so that poverty does not come upon us like a bandit, like a robber, and just take us over. You know, and once again, I'm not up here preaching a prosperity message. I'm not up here telling you about some pie in the sky. I'm just telling you that we need to. And see, this is the problem. You know, many people want a free ride. And because they want the free ride, they're waiting for something to fall down out of the sky. Well, more likely than not, it's not going to fall out of the sky. The only way you're going to get it, it's like James Brown said, I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door and I'll get it myself. And see, that's what we got to be about. We got to be about moving in the right direction, not about a handout. This thing is about a hand up and not going into poverty, but experiencing the prosperity of God in our lives. Well, what are some of the results of not waking up? Well, let me share these with you very quickly. Number one is what I call disaffirmation. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means to do something that's contrary to what it is you're supposed to do. God wants you to be alert. God wants you to be up. God wants you to be moving. God wants you to be about something. And if you are in a state of spiritual lethargy, if you are in a state of mental slothfulness, if you are in a state of physical sleep all the time, then you are not going to be doing what God called you to do. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took some of his choice disciples with him, and he said, watch and pray. He said, watch and pray and don't enter into temptation. He came back and looked, and the disciples had fallen asleep. Now, what had he told them to do? He told them to pray. He came back again. They were still asleep. He woke them up, came back the third time. They were still asleep. And then look what he says to them in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. They were asleep. He woke them up twice. So they couldn't use the excuse, nobody woke me up. He woke them up two times. And they went back to sleep. And they were doing the exact opposite of what it was that he wanted them to do. And see, if we are not on the alert, then we are not awake to the things that God wants us to do, and we end up doing the exact opposite thing. See, in order for you to be do the things that God wants you to do, you've got to be tuned in, you've got to be alert, and you've got to be spiritually aware. You can't be asleep. If you continue to sleep, I believe for some people, God has just come, and he just says, sleep on, because you're not going to wake up. You're not going to be alert. Well, the second thing is what I call disassociation. The first one is disaffirmation, and now this is disassociation. And what does that mean? That means to end an association, that you will be cut off from the blessings of God. 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 wise had oil, 5 foolish didn't have oil. And look, and the scripture said, we're not going to take time to read. You can read it on your own. But it says that when the bridegroom came, what were they doing? They were asleep. When the bridegroom came, they were sleeping. And he woke them up. And the 5 wise virgins went on into the marriage because they had oil for their lamps. And the 5 foolish ran to get oil for their lamps. And when they finally got it, they came and knocked on the door. He said, you can't get in here. It's too late. And people that continue to sleep disassociate themselves with the blessings of God. Man, you miss out on so many opportunities when you continue to nod and you continue to sleep. You know, I see some folk, man, they stay out, they party half the night or all the night, and then which is a waste of time. And then they come in and they sleep all day. What a waste. What a waste of a life. Oh, I was at a function last night where we had a good time. Had a nice little dinner. Had praise and worship. Had a nice message. Some good fellowship. Man, I enjoyed myself. I had a good time. And so there's nothing wrong with having a good time and fellowshipping. But when you're out there doing the wrong thing, you're out there living in sin and drunkenness and carousal and all that kind of stuff, and then you stay all night doing that, committing all kind of wickedness and sin, and then you come home and sleep half the day away. Whoo! Man, you are disassociating yourself with God's blessings. Man, God has some great things in store for you. God has some tremendous blessings that he wants to give you. And people disassociate themselves from the blessing of God. They knock on the door and they, Lord, you know, I'm trying to get this job, Lord. And Lord, I need you to help me. But you've disassociated yourself from God. You've blown it. You've stepped aside. You've missed the opportunity to come into his presence. You've missed the opportunity to go with him to the wedding. You've missed the opportunity to enjoy the blessings, and now you want to get in. Man, you're squandering the time. You've disassociated yourself. A third thing, disqualification. Disqualification. And what is that? The word disqualify means to be deprived of power. To lose something. You once had some power, or you once had some ability, and you've lost that. Samson fell in love with Delilah. And 2 times she tricked him to try to find out where his strength was. And he told her a lie the first 2 times. The 3rd time, she got him because he fell asleep in her lap. Nobody woke him up. She didn't even wake him up. The person that he opened his heart up to, the person that he gave himself over to, didn't wake him up, but cut his hair and called the Philistines in, and they took Samson, they poked out both of his eyes, they chained him, and they made him to grind at the mill. He was disqualified. Now, here was a guy, the strongest man probably ever lived, the strongest man identified in the Bible. Here he was, all this strength, able to pick up a whole city gate, able to kill 1,000 foxes and tie their tails together or tie lifetime together. Able to just do great feats of strength. And because of strength.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Nobody Woke Me Up. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Nobody Woke Me Up, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Nobody Woke Me Up. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Nobody Woke Me Up. Or call us at 877-831-5060 When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.